the factories, I love the rubber balls, I love the ukuleles and the sound of spinning tape. I love the things that people say. I love the tricycles, I love the synagogues, I love the Lego, and I love the Lincoln Logs. I love the fishing lures, I love the plumber's snakes, I love the things that people make. Knives, I love the garden gnomes. I love the way that people decorate their homes. I love the ovens and the casseroles they make. I love the things that people make.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Radio Free World on CKUW 95.9 FM, University of Winnipeg Radio. We are joined on the phone by Ahmed Sami from Egypt. Ahmed, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? How are things going there?
Very tense. Very, very tense.
Tense good, or tense bad?
A lot of good things and a lot of bad things. Mm-hmm. The good things here that around 1 million and a half demonstrators been protesting today in the front, in the main Tahrir Square, in the main Liberation Square, which been occupied by the protesters since 25th of January last month.
Mm-hmm.
And today people call the day the Goodbye Friday, which is Mubarak have to leave today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the second million protests.
Mm-hmm.
In less than a week.
It's taken you good people an awful lot of work to get rid of this president. What do you think is required to actually do it at this juncture?
This is the bad thing, which is it seems that you have two main powers. Understand the situation from two different point of views.
Mm-hmm.
And zero communication between the both, which is will take the both forces to a very strange situation, even politically.
Mm-hmm.
This is an revolution, a peaceful revolution till now. The government recognize it, but not as a revolution. The government recognize it as a some kind of political rights being asked, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Egyptian regime right now is what exactly been doing is to try to correct. As much as the regime think is enough, the whole situation. So, for example, right now, the president said that I'm not going to run again to the next presidential election, which is next month, in this year, next September.
If you're lucky.
And he hired, he appointed the director of intelligence as a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And he fired the government and he appointed a new government. And all these changes, and he promised that he will make some constitutional changes too.
Mm-hmm.
But all these changes he think is quite enough for him and quite enough response to what the people have been asking for.
But what the people have been asking for is pretty clear, and it's pretty clearly not reform.
Exactly. And this is why it's so funny and also so sad, because we are talking about a death regime, a real death regime.
Yeah.
My main worry is all the protesters are going to do more protesting activities. First of all, the protesters been very successful to smash down the police forces. There is no police forces in the whole Cairo, which is around 20 million people live in.
Yep.
None. Zero.
Yep.
People protecting themselves through through community groups, and they are all armed with all kind of weapons, starting from kitchen knives till guns, mm-hmm. Kalashnikov, everything.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about people in every single street. I'm not talking about people in a specific neighborhood.
And what sort of things have the police been up to this last 3 or 4 days? What sort of things have the Egyptian police been up to this last 3 or 4 days? Why has this been necessary?
They are totally far away from anything. We don't see. They put off the all kind of the uniform, and these people right now is what they to do is to. They're not here by anyhow.
Yeah.
And they're not here by anyhow. And the thing that in the same time the people wanted to keep it peaceful, and you cannot imagine between this mass number of people and the most of the governmental buildings, which is very close to my office, which is very close to me right now, it's 200 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 300 meters. And people can jump over the tanks and take the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
But the government don't understand the situation at all.
There was a number of, what would you call them, provocateurs caught related to violence that occurred on Wednesday. Could you tell us about that?
Some people inside the regime thought that the best way to solve this big strike in Tahrir Square is to bring in other Egyptian civilians, thugs, and people being paid to fight back this rebellions who are standing there. And unfortunately, they've been doing this in a very bad way. They are paid thugs, they've been beating people, and the day ended with 10 people killed and 600 people injured, which is a huge number for everything, and which is create a very bad image to the regime itself. So the Prime Minister, second day, he just went out in the press conference and he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know about this, and we're going to start an investigation about it." And that's it. But for the demonstrators, this is like a big revenge. Yeah. We need to send people to jail, send people who ordered this to jail.
Now,
the situation getting more and more complicated every day.
Now, can you tell me how that has affected the level of tension there on the street?
It affected the tension very high because everything is blocked, and the society is divided now. Half of the society is with the revolution, and the other half of the society is against the revolution. And the Egyptian media is playing a very bad role, actually. It's very complicated here.
can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
The Egyptian TV and newspapers, the state-owned TV and newspapers, is what they are doing all the time is they give a bad image to the young people in the streets. They give a bad image to the young people in the streets. They say this young people is being paid by foreign countries, and they don't remain in the streets for 7 days without being paid. A very stupid argument, actually, they are mentioned here. And they're bringing some young kids, nobody knows them, and they say, yeah, we aren't part of the movement because the movement have no leaders. This is V for Vendetta movement. It's very close to that movie. I don't know if you've been watching it or not. It's V for Vendetta movement. Everybody is Vendetta. And there is no leaders, and no one wants to elect a leader, no one wants to elect to appoint a leader, because the main thing is if there is a leader, political manipulation are going to start. This is why people is united till now. And they bring young kids, they say, we are the leaders, the true leaders of this on TV, and we are very sorry, President Mubarak, we didn't mean to make this big trouble. Very silly stuff, very silly, yeah. 30s Soviet Union propaganda, like something very, very silly, and you cannot even understand how the situation is going on.
And it's a very interesting media climate. You've got currently in Egypt, the Al Jazeera offices have burned down today?
Yeah, Al Jazeera off 2-3 days ago. Al Jazeera is off many, many TV channels and journalists. Me, myself, I've been arrested 3 hours ago by police, military police, because I have a camera.
Oh, and how did that go?
That was so funny, because I told them, yes, I have a camera, but, and so they take me to, like, a very local here in downtown, a military police unit, and then the officer investigate me, where you're working, and where do you publish these pictures, and this kind of silly questions, and I've been giving him all the legal answers, which I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I convinced him at the end of the day to leave, to make me leave the building. Otherwise, I'll bring other journalist friends to protest here. So he let me out, but I'm not sure that all the journalists is in safe environment right now in Cairo, especially foreign journalists.
Why? How come? What is who afraid of in this situation?
The government is distributing this revolution is being pushed by international force. And there is other countries hate us and want us to live in this hell. It's very similar to the Iranian propaganda against Mousavi revolution after the Iranian presidential.
But in the case of a lot of the accusations that the Egyptian government is leveling, a lot of them are against Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is run out of Qatar, which is essentially another U.S. protectorate. Why are these media people being turned on like this?
Because they are totally against the Egyptian government. They are giving the microphone. The Jazeera main problem that they're giving the microphone to the people, and this is something the Egyptian government really hates right now, because people in Tahrir Square is able to marching other people outside because they have a very powerful argument and very basic need, which is make Mubarak to leave. But how can we do this? This is what the days are going to show to us.
From what you can tell, and the responses that have been being received by the government, particularly President Mubarak, and the way he does not seem to be able to understand what is being said to him, are there concerns about his own stability? I don't mean in terms of regime, I mean in terms of personal stability. And are there also concerns amongst the protesters that this clampdown on the media might be a prelude to something happening?
Listen, any kind of violence against the demonstrators in Tahrir Square. Okay, any kind of violence in Tahrir Square right now. I'm quite sure that massive of casualties will be there, because people is too much. There is too much people there. They are all ready to fight. There is like the fourth pyramid is there. Like people is ready with all kind of sizes of rocks you can imagine in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, and they are very organized to defend this the whole place, very organized. This, if you want, personally, if you want to go to inside the square, at least you will be stopped 20 times, searched personally,
mm-hmm.
like the way the police do, to make sure, first, that you are not police, second, that you don't carry a weapons.
Mm-hmm. And is this serving as a deterrent to anybody in attending the protest, sir?
This is a regular thing. This is anybody want to get inside the square have to. This is like the main security measures they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very organized. They have like an intelligence unit, and this unit tell them what. If there is other people coming against them or not, and they have like alarm system, and they are gathering in, it's so organized, and so, in some kind, it's more organized than you can imagine for young people, first time go to politics, first time to go to demonstration. It's so organized, and I think, this kid's been seeing a lot of movies, man.
Yeah. What is the overall level of safety there in Cairo, both on the square and away from the square? You say there is a certain confrontational mood, but at the same time things are basically calm?
No. Unfortunately, I cannot say that Cairo is a safe city anymore these days. I'm very sad to say this, but I don't feel comfortable when I am walking in the streets after the curfew. We have curfew started at 5:00, and then you will find all kind of the units, the local community units is there, and some people are very stupid. They don't understand who you are, what you do, and you have to explain where you pin and where you're going and why you're crossing this specific street, and some of them is carrying weapons, and you know, it's not safe at all. Not some of them, all of them carrying weapons, but some of them is stupid enough and can use the weapon, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's very, very strange society.
How much of a role does crime play? Does crime zero play crime. In normal zero Egyptian crime. Life and now afterwards?
No, zero crime, because most of the people are in the revolution or this community thing. And this is something very, very funny, because actually what you see here is that the people is not respecting the law, because the law says you are not allowed to walking downtown or in the street with your own weapon, but in the same time they are very they've been doing a good job for keeping the safety of the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. actually.
What is the outlook currently? What are you expecting for the next few days there?
We are open to all kind of scenarios, man. All kind of scenarios. You cannot imagine how tense it is. I see here in BBC, the Arabic service, I can see there is still around 700,000 people at the Tahrir Square.
Mm-hmm. And it is about, 10:00 p.m. there?
Yeah, it's 10:00 p.m. And if it's 10:00 p.m. and people there, this means people sleep in the square tonight.
What sort of potential flashpoints may arise at this juncture?
Excuse me, I didn't get your question.
What sort of potential flashpoints might arise at this juncture? What could happen that might destabilize the security situation there?
In the square?
Yeah.
Or the Egyptian government send more thugs, or the army give orders to using his tanks against these demonstrators.
Mm-hmm.
And in any case of the both, a lot of casualties and a lot of violence and a lot of blood would be there.
Now you said that divisions within society have been appearing over the last few days. I'm wondering if there's any risk of civil war moving forward there in Egypt.
No, civic war is far away. No.
It's
hard to recognize who's with Mubarak and who's against Mubarak.
And
not a tribe problem or ethnic problem or religious groups problem. It's more politics.
It's like it's a purely political situation, therefore.
Yeah.
Where should people be going to get the best information and reportage on the situation there?
You have everything. You have BBC, Arabic, they are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You have France 24, and you have a lot of local internet radio like us, and there is Harita.net, and there is Al-Masr Al-Yom, and there is Al-Yom Al-Sabah, the seventh day. There is a lot of media outlets here, local media outlets, trying to bring all kind of information to the people.
Why the sea change in the media? Why all of a sudden are media outlets such as the BBC, some of the American outlets that never have, seeming to, I don't know if it's safe to say withdraw support for Mubarak, but definitely give fair coverage to movements against him, whereas in the past, the kind of Western media line has been one of solid support. So why do you think that changed all of a sudden? And are those media therefore really trustworthy from your point of view?
They are trusted more than the Egyptian media at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because the governmental media is very deliver very, very false information, and it's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end of the day, let me tell you that this is what we can get.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, Ahmed Sami, I'd like to thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Wish you luck there, and hope that you keep your eyes open and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time, and good luck.
Thank you, bye-bye.
There you go. Ahmed Sami joined us on the line there, live from Cairo, Egypt. And that is about all the time we have for Radio Free World today. Thank you for listening. We're heard every Friday here on CKW 95.9 FM, University of Winnipeg Radio. I'm your host. My name is Jeffrey Young.